from Hollywood, front and center. The United States Army and Air Force, in cooperation with the National Broadcasting Company, presents Front and Center, starring your mistress of ceremonies, Dorothy Lamour. Dorothy, front and center.
Dorothy Lamour reporting. Hello, everybody. Coming up front and center tonight are Henry Russell and the orchestra, the Crew Chiefs Quartet, and our special guests, Ronald Reagan, George Burns, and Gracie Allen. But first, from the great Broadway hit Brigadoon, It's Almost Like Being in Love. Day this has been, what a rare mood I'm in. Why, it's almost like being in love. There's a smile on my face for the whole human race. Why, it's almost like being in love. All the music of life seems to be like a bell that is ringing for me. And from the way that I feel when that bell starts to peal, I would swear I was falling. I could swear I was falling. It's almost like being in love.
All the music of life seems to be like a bell that keeps ringing for me.
And from the way that I feel when that bell starts to peal, I would swear I was falling. I could swear I was falling. It's almost like being in love. And now it's time for this week's first guest star, or rather stars. It's Gracie Allen and that man George who always burns. George and Gracie, front and center.
George, before we go over to talk to Dorothy Lamour, do me a little favor.
Yeah?
It'll help me sell Dorothy the sensational new idea I've got for you.
Now, Gracie, don't tell me that you've cooked up another one of your wild schemes.
Oh, that's not fair, George. When did I ever do that?
365 days a year for 15 years.
Oh, that's just like a husband, remembering the few mistakes I made.
Yeah, I'm a dog.
But I've turned over a new leaf, George. This is the same sensible idea and will not embarrass you.
All right. What do you want me to do?
Take off your shirt.
You've turned over a new leaf.
Yes.
This won't embarrass me.
No, you can leave your trousers on.
Thanks. Just what is the sane, sensible idea of yours?
Well, look. Now, here in this movie magazine, it says that Dorothy Lamour is going to make another one of those South Sea Island pictures.
So?
So, she'll need a leading man. A big bronze brute and a virile he-man.
You mean...
Take off your shirt.
Gracie, tell her to get somebody like John Hall.
Oh, now, how would that sound if Dorothy said, who shall I get for my picture, Gracie? And I said, go hire a Hall.
Believe me, I'm not the type she needs.
George, 2 months ago, I would have agreed with you. But if you could only see what a summer at the beach has done for you. You've changed completely.
I have?
Certainly. 2 months ago, you were all pale and had big bags under your eyes. Look at you now. The bags are nice and tan.
Yeah, I'm a dream man.
You certainly are.
Pretty.
Yes.
Handsome fellow.
You look like a beautiful bronze statue.
Oh, stop.
You do? Remember that bronze statue in the park of the general sitting on his horse?
Yeah.
Well, if you approach that statue from a certain angle...
Okay. Now, forget this idea. I'm not the type for Dorothy Lamour's leading man.
But, George, you are. I saw this miracle at the Sun and Beach worked on you. Why, when we went to the beaches, you were a wreck.
Oh, I don't know. I wasn't that bad.
Oh, you were, too. The first day I started to bury you in the sand, and a man said, "Hold it, lady, I don't think he's quite gone yet."
It was some wise guy.
But right away you began to improve. By the third day, you were looking at the girls in those strapless bathing suits.
Yeah. How about those suits? It's hard to see what holds them up.
Yeah, but you certainly tried.
So I had a nice summer at the beach, but that doesn't mean that I can be Dorothy Lamour's leading man. I tell you, it's for somebody like John Hall.
Oh, all right. You keep harping on John Hall. There's a picture here in this movie magazine of John Hall and his wife, Frances Langford, standing beside their swimming pool in their bathing suits. Here. Now, look at that figure. Built just like you.
You're pointing to Frances Langford.
Oh.
Once and for all, forget this idea. I'm not the type.
Well, let Dorothy Lamour decide if you're the type.
Well, okay.
Take off your shirt.
Absolutely not.
Well, at least take off your coat so she can see your chest.
Well, okay.
Now, put it back on. Now your shoulders are gone.
Look, call Dorothy and let's get this over with.
All right. And mark my words, dear. You've improved so much that Dorothy won't even know you.
Well, we'll see.
Oh, Dorothy, would you step over here a moment, please?
Yes, Gracie. What is it?
Dorothy, who does this man look like?
He looks like George.
Mm-hmm. Oh, which George? Raft, Brent, or Montgomery?
Washington.
Let's go home, Gracie.
No, wait a minute. Dorothy, this is my husband, George Burns.
I knew it all the time, Gracie.
Oh, well, yes, but he's changed. He's not the old George.
You mean there's an older one?
Let's go home.
No. Dorothy, wait till you hear my sensational idea. Now, how about George for the leading man in your new picture?
George?
Sure. It's a South Sea Island picture. It'll give you both a chance to wear sarongs.
George in a sarong?
Uh-huh.
Gracie, I couldn't keep a straight face.
Well, that's all right, Dorothy. When you wear a sarong, who notices your face?
Well, I'm not going to wear a sarong either. I told the studio I'm tired of those pictures.
But, Dorothy, this picture will make $1 million.
No, Gracie, I'm going to drop the sarong.
Oh, then it'll make $2 million.
I might not go home at that. I might stay.
You won't even stop at $2 million. We'll make 75% more.
How?
By not playing England.
I've changed my mind. I'm going home. Dorothy isn't interested.
Dorothy, I'm sure you'll change your mind after you run through a scene with George. I took the liberty of writing a little script for you two.
Oh, Gracie, I wish you hadn't.
Oh, but it'll make a wonderful picture. It's a story of primitive love on a South Sea Island. Now, you two are Hawaiians. George is a Connie, a man, and Dorothy, you're a Wahine, a woman. Perfect casting, don't you think?
I'm glad you didn't reverse it.
Yeah. Well, now, as
I thought you'd make me the man. Now, that doesn't make sense. Go ahead.
Now, as my picture opens, Dorothy, the Wahine has been captured by the cannibals who are about to have a Wahine roast.
I think I'll go home alone.
Oh, but Dorothy, don't worry. George dashes up, snatches you from the cannibal's pot, and presses you to his bosom.
I just go from one pot to another.
You look up at George and say in your native language, "You all sure enough came just in time, honey child."
That's my native language.
You're from the South Seas.
I should have never left home.
You make a dash for your canoe and escape while the furious cannibals wave their Waikikis and sit on their lanais. You sail until you come to a beautiful little island paradise covered with pineapples. You sit down to rest, but you leap right up again.
Why?
Ever sit in a pineapple?
Tracy, I think we'd better forget this picture.
But, Dorothy, it's just like those road pictures of yours, only you've got George instead of Crosby. Of course, there's no hope in my picture.
Not the least bit.
You mean you're turning down this opportunity to co-star with Sugar Throat?
Call me a fool, but I'm turning it down.
Well, I guess that's the end of the picture, Gracie.
Oh, yeah. Without L'Amour, I guess we...
I think
oh,
so.
Oh, wait a minute. There is one girl in Hollywood who can take L'Amour's place in the picture. Young, talented, beautiful, and looks even better in a sarong.
Yeah, I'd like to meet her.
Well, how do?
How do?
Goodbye, Dorothy.
Goodbye, Dorothy. See you in pictures.
Goodbye, George and Gracie. Thank you, George Burns and Gracie Allen. If that doesn't set the marriage license business back 10 years, I'll eat my wedding ring. And while we're on the subject of marriage, here comes someone who's wedded to his career to tell us a few facts every young man should know. Hal, front and center.
Hal, give me reporting. Well, here it is, practically the 1st of September, and you fellows who graduated from high school last June have probably been doing some serious thinking about your future. Maybe you've sized it up this way.
Yes, I'd like to join up with the Air Force. Sure could use that technical training. But how can I be sure I'll get the kind of training I want?
Well, sir, you can be sure you'll get exactly the kind of aviation training you want. Under the Aviation Career Plan, you high school graduates may choose the Air Force schools or courses you want before you enlist. Then, after you have been qualified and accepted for the school of your choice, you'll enlist in the Air Force for 3, 4, or 5 years. After a short basic training period, you are guaranteed the education required to make you a specialist in the job you have chosen. Whether it's aircraft welding, control tower operation, radio mechanics, photography, or any one of the many others. Now, here's all you have to do. Just go to your Army and Air Force recruiting station first thing tomorrow morning. Tell the recruiting officer just what kind of aviation training you want. He'll give you an application blank and a complete list of the schools and courses open to you. Remember, fellas, you choose your school before you enlist. And while you're training to be an aviation specialist, you'll be getting that high Army pay, with all your food, clothing, quarters, medical, and dental care absolutely free. So get down to the recruiting station, men, and join the Air Force.
Henry Russell has that glint in his eye again. All right, Hank, come up here and tell us what you and the boys are going to beat out for us today.
Well, Dottie, the boys, the crew chiefs, and yours truly got the old trunk out of the attic and resurrected a good, solid old-timer. I may be wrong.
Make with a stick, Hank. You may be right.
I may be wrong, but I think you're wonderful. I may be wrong, but I think you're swell. I like your style, say, I think it's marvelous. I'm always wrong, so how can I tell? All of my shirts are unsightly, all of my ties are a cry. Here in you I picked rightly, it's the very first time. You came along, say I think you're wonderful, I think you're grand. But I may be wrong. But I think you're wonderful. But I think you're swell. It's marvelous, so marvelous. How can I tell?
Your shirts are unsightly, all of your ties are awry. Dear in me, you picked rightly.
It's the very first time you came along. Say, I think you're wonderful. I think you're grand. But baby, I may be wrong.
Oh, thanks, Henry Russell and the crew chief. Now it's time for our third guest star. It's a young ex-Army man who's been flying pretty high as an actor out at the Warner Brothers lot, where he's starring in Night Unto Night. Ladies and gentlemen, Ronald Reagan. Ronald, front and center.
Ronald Reagan reporting.
Ronald, it's awfully nice to have you with us.
Well, thanks, Dottie. It seems like old times working for the Army again. Of course, the greetings are nicer.
Thank you, sir, she said. And now, Ronald, would you set the scene for our little play we're doing tonight?
Certainly. It was winter in lower New York City before the turn of the century. A pale, gaunt man dressed in fashionable clothes that had seen better days entered the lobby door of a dingy hotel. As he walked slowly down the dim, gaslit hall, he heard sounds of piano music coming from the reading room. On a sudden impulse, he entered.
Oh, I didn't see you come in.
I'm sorry if I frightened you. Please play some more.
No, that's enough.
It was lovely.
It is, isn't it? Schubert wrote it.
I know.
I think I'd better go now.
Oh, please, not just yet.
Well, I really don't...
I know this seems unusual, but don't worry.
I won't.
Are you staying in this place? I haven't seen you before.
I've only been here a short time.
Well, I haven't been here very long myself. I have the little room at the end of the hall.
I'm not interested.
I was merely making conversation. Will you be here long?
Not very. I'm getting married.
Well, that's wonderful. I wish you luck.
Thank you.
Your fiancé, where is he?
California.
California?
Yes, what's wrong with that? Well,
nothing. It's fine. I'd always hoped to go there someday myself.
Might do you some good. You look awfully pale. Are you well?
Of course. Oh, it's this hard winter we're having. I never seemed to feel the cold so much before.
No wonder. You're not dressed for this weather. Look at the flimsy clothes you're wearing.
Well, it doesn't matter. In another month or so, it'll be spring.
Thank heavens I'll never have to go through this misery again.
They say the weather never forces itself on you in California. The air is like wine. Sunshine.
Even the people are different. They're friendly. Not like this place.
Oh, I don't think friendship is restricted to climate. There are good friends everywhere.
So I was led to believe.
It's really true. Well, I've struck up some of the finest associations of my life right here in New York.
Have you? Then what are you doing in this miserable hole?
You're very upset, aren't you? What's wrong?
Wrong? Nothing's wrong. Why would anything be wrong on the eve of a girl's wedding trip?
I don't know. Why would it?
Because the girl isn't... Oh, why don't you leave me alone?
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to intrude. Good luck.
Wait. Don't go.
But you just...
I know. I want to be alone, and yet I don't.
Oh, don't worry. When you get to California, everything will be different.
Different?
Your fiancé, what does he do?
He's a miner. Gold.
Well, there's still plenty of it out there.
Yes, he's very successful.
I understand how you must feel, taking such an important step, going to the other end of the country, leaving your relatives.
I have none.
I'm sorry. Tell me, how long have you known your fiancé?
What's that got to do with it?
Nothing. I just wondered.
I've known him long enough.
Long enough to know you love him?
Long enough to know that he can give me the things in life that really count.
Like what?
Security, money, clothes, food.
And love?
He loves me.
And you, of course, love him.
I don't think you have the right to...
Do you love him?
That isn't any of your... I don't know.
People in love always know.
But he's the only person in the world who's ever shown any real affection for me.
That's not enough for happiness. Love has to be mutual. It has to be shared to be enjoyed. It's like... Or like a good play or music.
Music. I used to be in love with music.
Used to be?
Yeah. I came to New York to be a great concert star.
Well, those things take time. They don't come overnight.
Overnight? I studied piano since childhood. After I was alone, I worked at anything to keep up my training. I've gone without meals in order not to miss out on instruction. What good has it all done?
But you're still young.
Yes. Young enough to give it up before it's too late.
I see. So that's the real reason you're going west.
That's it.
It won't work. It's like a puppy chasing its tail. It's a never-ending circle. You can't run away from yourself.
I'm not running away from myself. I'm running away from music and what it's done to me.
You make it sound like some frightening monster.
You don't know what music can do to people who really live it.
Would you mind playing a little for me?
You're just trying to be kind.
Please, just one song.
No, I don't think I...
Please.
I... Well, all right, just one. Have you any favorite?
They're all my favorites. It's like a garden of lovely flowers, each one more beautiful than the next. No, you play anything you choose.
Very well.
It's very lovely.
I'm glad you like it.
You mustn't ever give up music.
Why not?
The world needs beauty such as that.
Well, it'll have to come from someone else. I'm going to California.
Look, I have a friend. He manages artists for recitals and concerts and such. I know he can find work for you.
No, it's too late now.
But it isn't. I'll give you his card. Go to him. Once he hears you play, all your problems will be over.
It's no use. I've made up my mind.
Please, at least take his card.
I tell you, it won't do any good.
Here it is.
But I... Oh. All right, thank you. And now, if you'll excuse me, I have to go to my room and pack. It's me, the girl who's going to California.
Come in.
Forgive me for intruding, but I had to tell you. I went to see the man you sent me to, and I played for him, and he's going to get me bookings.
Oh, good. Good.
I've changed my mind about California. You were right. You told me that... Are you all right?
Yes.
But you're not. You're ill. Very ill.
Oh, I'm a little feverish.
We've got to get a doctor. Fast.
Young lady?
How is he, Doctor?
He's dead.
Dead?
Yes.
But so sudden, I can't believe it.
I'm sorry.
May I see him again?
If you wish. Come in.
Thank you. Poor man.
You knew him well?
I only met him last night.
He had very little. He had his entire belongings. Purse, 38 cents in coins, and a scrap of paper with writing on it.
What does it say?
Well, evidently the title of a song he planned to write.
A song?
Yes. He was a composer.
Let me see it. Dear friends and gentle hearts.
Dear friends and gentle hearts.
Oh.
And here are his identification papers.
What was his name?
Foster. Stephen Foster.
That was a fine job, Ronald Reagan. Thanks for coming down here tonight. And now, Hal Gibney, front and center.
Cadets are flying again. Make a note of this, you young fellows who want to fly. Aviation cadet pilot training has a new class opening up October 15th. And now is the time to get your application in. Here are the requirements, fellows. You must be 20 to 26 and a half years old, unmarried, a good man physically and mentally, and with 2 years of college credits or the equivalent. Can you fill the bill? Then you are eligible to apply for aviation cadet pilot training. And as soon as you finish your training, you'll become a commissioned officer in the Air Force. And the sky's the limit from then on. Now, double-check this. The next aviation cadet training class begins October 15th. And in order to make this class, see your local Army and Air Force recruiting officer the first thing tomorrow. Or get a letter off today to the Commanding General, Air Force, Washington, D.C.
Here's a song I've always liked, and I hope it's one of your favorites, too. Henry Russell, will you give me an introduction to All of Me?
that cry. How can I go on, dear, without you? You, that once was my heart, so why not take all of me?
Know that you can have all of me. Why don't you take all of me? Oh, honey, can't you see that I am no good without you? No good at all.
You took the part that once was my heart. So
once again, our mistress of ceremonies and the co-star of Paramount's Wild Harvest, Dorothy L'Amour. Dorothy, front and center.
Reporting, Hal. Well, folks, it's about time to turn on the nightlight. But we'll all be back again with you next Sunday. Our special guests will be Alan Ladd and Ozzie Nelson and Harriet Hilliard. Until then, for Ronald Reagan, George Burns, and Gracie Allen, Henry Russell and his orchestra, the crew chiefs, and Hal Gibney, this is Dorothy L'Amour wishing you good night and good luck. Until we meet again, I salute you.
Front and Center is presented each Sunday at this time by the United States Army and Air Force in cooperation with the National Broadcasting Company. George Burns and Gracie Allen appeared to the courtesy of Maxwell House Coffee. This program is written by Bill Danch and produced and directed by Glenn Hall Taylor.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.